Good morning to you all. We are gathered here at Bethel Baptist Church to claim the memories which are forever sacred of Paul Ortiz Jr., as these memories are the gift of God to all of us. We are supported by a faith stronger than death, sustained by a hope of life that extends eternally beyond this place. And it is my hope that through the service, we shall receive encouragement and support in a very mighty way. Pastor Greg Thomason will lead us in prayer to begin our service.
Please stand for prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have come before you at this time to share our memories of Paul and to remember him as your child. Let us feel the embrace of your comforting arms around us as we look beyond the reality of a loved one departing from us to see him dwelling with you for all eternity. We know that Paul, as your dear child, is now being comforted with you and is now free from all worldly discomfort, pain, and distractions. Bless his loved ones, family, and friends, and encourage our hearts with your love and compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
You all have received a little car, and in the car there is a psalm that Paul and I have read many times together, Psalm 23. Brother Joe Plica will read this psalm with us, and you can look as you read the scripture in your own car. Mr. Plica.
Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? This is, as Pastor has said, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessed is the word of God. Would you please be seated?
Thank you so much, Brother Plica, and I promise I will not make you stand anymore. We have wonderful girls who sing here in the church, and I invited Shelley and Patricia, Shelley Dulillo and Patricia Laurel, to have a special song for Paul this morning.
When alarmed by the fear. mighty. Though fear and conflict seize your soul, just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing you in. Surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing you in.
Tricia and Shelley, and the moments that follow, we're going to call it Remembering Paul. And the first people who remember him are his children. And Pastor Greg Thompson will come back again and read something the children have written about Paul in memory of him. Pastor Greg.
This is from Jeanette and Paul Jr., his children. Some people think of heroes as Superman, Batman, and so on. But for us, our superhero is our dad. No, he couldn't fly or lift a building, but he did stuff that meant more than that. Whenever he did something, it was always from the heart. He wanted to be in 10 different places at once, helping everyone, even if they were out of reach, from little things, like giving my uncle a ride, to going with his church group to feed the homeless. We think it is incredible how someone can do so much and not expect anything in return. Just knowing he helped someone out was good enough for him. We're glad to have our dad watching over us and to know that we have someone as great as him to be our guardian angel. So I have a few thoughts of my own and memories of him. So when I first came to this church, it was real easy for me, for any of us, to find Paul. He was always right back there at the soundboard, running it, trying to figure out how to improve the sound, how to make our broadcasts across the internet, at that time at the radio, and our tapes better, to make them improved. He wanted to make sure that when he was training me to run the board sound system, he made a big point that on the digitizer, one of the devices back there, it's got to have two red lights. Not one, it's not enough power for KKMC to be able to control it and amplify it. Not three, or it's too much and we'll overburden them. Got to have two. So he was ensuring that that we make sure we've got everything right and the signals were there. He just didn't want to just accomplish. He wanted to do it right and make sure it was well done. And a few months ago, I was trying to find recommendations for someone to help me with my 70 Firebird. It's been sitting in my yard for about 10 years. And I hadn't been able to work on it, so I started finding out, who can I take it to reliably fix it? Paul raised his hand and says, I'll help you do it. So he came down and started working on it, adjusting the carburetor and fixing the timing and adjusting this and adjusting that. Even though he was in severe pain, he wanted to help. He wanted to do anything he could to help this old car run. And he was interested in seeing the car running for his own educational purposes. He wanted to understand it more and wanted to learn. But he also wanted to just see it running, to see it done right. And he was willing to serve as God had asked. We tried to pay him for his time and pay for everything that he did, and he says, no, I won't do that. This is my service. Do it for God. One of the times he had come down, my family and I had taken Paul out to dinner. And we spoke and we talked. The great desire of his heart was to see his children walk with the Lord. He didn't care if they were rich or if they're famous. He wanted them to see them walk with God. He wanted to know, he wanted to do what God wanted him to do with his life. He wanted to be comforted and assured that his children knew the God that he knew. The God that was not only capable of comforting when things were tough, but a God that would actually comfort when things were tough. Paul was a man with a lot of pain and struggles, but he knew that his Redeemer lives, that he would be in the presence of his Savior when the time was right. The scriptures tell us that there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We know that Paul now knows the reality of God's faithfulness, God's love, God's mercy, and God's peace.
Thank you, Greg. Paul was a great companion, and we always went out for soup. I love soup, and Paul loves soup, and very hot, and we really enjoyed together. And later on, I share with you some of the questions. When I take people out, it's for asking questions, and I enjoy Paul because he was true. He would not lie. He was a true man, and you can talk to somebody, tell the truth, even if you disagree. So what? Two men in disagreement. But the worst part is when there is malice and somebody lie. And I enjoy talking to people who tell the truth. And Paul was one of them. Also, we have another companion. We make a trio here with Brother Wayne. And Brother Wayne also and Lai Soup. And Paul's father, when he was here, Lai Soup. And we all went out to Mary Callender to have a great bowl of soup and talk eye to eye in our own life. So, Brother Wayne, will you come and give us a testimony of your life with Paul.
First of all, I would like to thank each one of Paul's family members coming today and to pay respect and to honor Paul here today, and all the church members of our church to be here. We all love Paul very much, and we honor him today. As I first met Paul, I was introduced to him by his father many years ago. As I would go over and visit Paul Sr., Paul would be there visiting with his dad, or he would come by. And Paul introduced me to him, and we got along really good because he had some of the things in his life that was similar taking place in my life at this time. And we talked about many topics. And at this time, I'm not sure if he really knew the Lord, but I knew that his father was talking to him about the Lord. And eventually, Paul Sr. did lead him to the Lord. And as many times we'd go out and have dinner and have lunches together, we would talk about the Lord, and Paul would have many, many questions about the Bible. And even in our Sunday school classes, as many of us that have come to our Sunday school classes, Paul would raise his hand and say, well, could you explain this a little bit more about this? Paul was a seeker. He was seeking to know the truth, like Brother Greg said. And he loved the Lord very, very much. And like Greg was saying earlier, as we talked together, Paul especially loved his family. He talked about them a great deal. And we remember the times when he would bring his daughter Jeanette to our church service. And he was bringing her for one reason, that he would know the Lord, that she would know the Lord, and that the rest of her family would know the Lord, because this was the main purpose in Paul's heart. Because when a person becomes saved, immediately they want to run tell their family about what the Lord has done for them. And that's what Paul wanted to do. And Paul also had a relationship with the Lord, and that's what he wanted for his family. And Paul many times would talk about his family, his brothers, of how he might could help them, and his daughter, and his children. Although, as Brother Greg said, he was in pain most of his time, but he tried to do what he could do to help his family. And we would pray together that his family might know the Lord, and that my family might come to know the Lord also, and so we could spend an eternity together with each other. But Paul Jr. was growing in his Christian faith, and he was also watching his father do the Christian work. We can hear it a lot of times. We can read the Bible until we really do it. That's the main thing. When Paul Sr. and Pastor would go over and visit with Ron, one of our members of our church, he had terminal cancer. And Paul and Paul Jr. and Paul Sr. Led Ron to the Lord. He was an unbeliever. But after reading the scripture to him time and time again, Ron got to know the Lord. And then he would come in his wheelchair when his health permitted it, and he would come and hear the Holy Scriptures. And then after he couldn't come, Paul Jr. and Sr. would go and visit Ron, who had terminal cancer. They couldn't come anymore. And they would go and they would read the Bible to them. Brother Joe Plicka, myself, and Pastor, whenever we could, we would go. But the main person that would go would be Paul Jr. And two, Ron also liked to work on cars. And they both got along really, really well, and they really hit it off, Ron. But then Ron is now with the Lord also. He is no longer with us. But Paul Jr. was his friend, and he was putting his Christian faith into action by serving others because he loved the Lord so much. And then about 4 weeks ago, Paul Jr. had called me and said he needed a ride to the hospital. He needed to go take an MRI, and he needed to get a shot in his spine for his pain. And I told him I would gladly love to take him to the hospital. So we went to the hospital. We got his shot. We got his MRI. And on the way back, one of the lighter points of Paul's life is, like Brother Greg saying, he didn't want to he wanted to help people all that he could. And here he was trying to give me money on the way back for the gas that I had taken over. But I'd taken him to the couple of doctors there. He's here, Wayne, take this $20 bill. Gas is very expensive now. It's over $3 a gallon. I said, no, Paul, I don't want your money. You keep your money. And the next day, as I was looking through my car in between my seats, I found a $20 bill. Oh, Paul got one over on me then. So I called Paul back the next day. I said, Paul, you didn't happen to lose a $20 bill, did you? Oh, no. I didn't lose any money at all. And I says, okay, Paul, you know the story about the money of losers, weepers, finders, keepers. And we both just kind of laughed together over the phone, and Paul knew in a way that I knew that he left the money. But Paul was that way. He was always giving and wanted to help out whenever he could. And as we were driving back, Paul told me, he said, Wayne, I have to go next week to have my blood taken out. It has to be cleansed because all these years that I've been on these drugs, but the pain, I need to take it out of my body and I need to start doing better in that area. And I said, I'd be glad to take you, Paul. He said, no problem, Wayne, but I got my friend that's going to take me over to the hospital. And I says, good, then if you need me, just call me. So Paul, he went over, and he got his blood cleansed, and then I talked with him a few days after that, and he didn't feel too good at that time. He was going through a lot of pain, and he had to get back on medication to relieve some of this pain that Paul was going through. But eventually, about a week later than that, I wanted to call Paul again to find out how he was doing, and he was doing much better. He felt alive, and he felt really exuberant. And then I had to ask him a professional question of his trade, security. I said, Paul, I got a security question for you. It says, my daughter had met some unruly people at the train station over there where she catches when she comes back from San Jose State from college. Can you give me a phone number to call so I can get security people out there? Oh, yes, Wayne, you called this number and this number, and you talked to them. You got to talk to them this way and this way. And he was telling me exactly how to do it. So I called exactly the way he told me, and I got the exactly results I needed. And so Paul, again, was helping me out helping me have protection for my daughter at the train station. And that would be my last conversation that I would have with Paul at that time. But, however, Paul had called me back a few days later, and he had left a message on my phone asking about the results of my phone call. How was I doing? Is my daughter getting the protection she needed to train stay? He had many questions, but it was too late. I never called back before Paul passed away. And I was very saddened. I was very sorrowful when I heard about what happened to Paul. My heart was broken. I was very sad. I was very disturbed inside for quite some time. And it wasn't Sunday when the pastor told me that what hit me so bad. It was the next morning. I was making pancakes like I usually do in the morning. And all of a sudden, I just started crying. I couldn't stop crying. I started thinking about Paul, all the good things that we have done together and we've said together and all of this. And all of a sudden, the Lord comforted me and said, Wayne, don't worry. He's with me now. I carried him when he was a little baby. And he was growing up, and now I'm carrying him in heaven. He's with me. So Paul is there now with the Lord, and the Lord is taking care of him, just like he will us one day when we get to heaven. And Paul will remain in our memories. As long as we're alive. And Paul will be that testimony for us to show us what Christian love is all about. That is helping our family and friends. May I just read one scripture here for you to comfort all of us at this time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 13 through 18, this was Paul. He was talking to the Thessalonians, trying to comfort them after their loved ones passed away. Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Test your sorrows as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those with who fall asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who fall asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's the comfort we have today, is knowing that Paul is with the Lord, and we will be with the Lord as we follow him. And may through Paul's death, may God be glorified as we come to believe that Jesus died and rose again so salvation can come to us all, so we can be with the Lord and live with Paul eternally, especially his loved ones. Paul never got his healing while he was here on this earth, but now Paul has complete healing. He's in the presence of Almighty God, where there is no more suffering. Let us all remember Paul, who loved the Lord and tried to come to this church as often as he could to hear the word and to obey it. Because of his pain, he couldn't come the long distance and sit for long periods of time. And let us remember Paul for his love for his family and his friend for the Lord. And the Lord promised us that when he left, he was going to come back one day. He is preparing us a home in heaven. And when we leave this place, we'll have a home. There eternally we can be with our loved ones. So let us remember Paul for all the good that he did for us. The Lord brought Paul into all of our lives for a short period of time. And may we honor Paul today for all the good things that he did for us and the Lord. Thank you very much.
We will let now anyone here, members of the family, friends, who like to speak. And you don't have to come here. You can stand wherever you are and say a few words in remembrance of Paul. If anyone want to do so, please you raise your hand, and I'd be glad to, because we are broadcasting, that we have enough microphones around the building that can be heard. The service is broadcast over the air internationally, and his father is listening right there in Puerto Rico. Well, yes, please, go ahead. Yes, please. Right here. Okay.
I wanted to ask any of my brothers or sisters who are here if they'd like to come up and hold hands with us. Well, I say a few words about Paul.
And I'd like to thank everybody who's here today. I know all of you, every one of you, mean a lot to my brother. He loved everybody, no matter what was in their heart, no matter what they were doing in their lives. Paul was very generous. With all of his love, more generous than even I myself have been or could have been. And I respected him, still respect him. I feel like he's with me. And I love him, and I know you all do. So thank you very much for being here today.
I first want to let you know that Rosie took this extremely hard, and she's heavily sedated and couldn't make it today.
Her heart is here. There are many that couldn't be here, I'm sure.
Here with us in spirit, and just some funny things about Paul and my brothers when we were growing up. There were seven of us, and my mom and dad, the way they dealt with us was, they divided us into two groups. There were the big ones and the little ones. Me being the middle child, well, it depended on what was going on, whether I was included with the big ones or the little ones. And usually when it had to do with chores, I was a big one. And when the little ones had to go take naps, I was a little one. So anyway, my mom and dad were out one day, and the big ones were in charge of the little ones. And since they didn't want to deal with us, they made us take a long nap. And at this time, I'm remembering we were living in San Diego. And all I can remember is I couldn't sleep. And
none of us could sleep.
I was restless. And I was so scared of my brothers that they would get mad because I wasn't sleeping. And I was faking it. And they came in the room. And we had tons of blue-belly lizards in San Diego. And these guys brought in the lizards to test us and see if we were really sleeping. So I was laying there. And I, all those of you know me very well know I can't stand creepy crawly things. And they put the lizard on my arm, and it was crawling up, and I'm just trying to.
And they didn't just put them in one place. They let them crawl all over you.
But, you know, that's the way brothers tease each other. And
it was between that and being bludgeoned with snails.
And another time I remember, there are so many, but another time I remember was we grew up eating a lot of trout, rainbow trout, and my mom used to fry it real nice, and, you know, the whole trout. And everybody was always afraid of the head. And my dad convinced me to try to eat some of the meat on the head of the fish, and I did. And Paul turned this into this story that I ate the fish eyes, and I tell you, I did not. But he told the whole neighborhood that I ate the fish eyes, so I was nicknamed Fish Eyes. I had to live with that for a long time. But anyway, as you all know, Paul really loved dogs, and he loved cars. And his love for not only helping people but helping animals started at a really young age. Now, I don't know if he found the dog or the dog found him, but this little, cute little golden retriever discovered Paul, and he begged my parents to let us keep it. And, of course, you know, they gave him the whole speech about being responsible for taking the care of the dog and everything, and he promised and all that, and he did. And he just couldn't bear to let that dog live on the street. And next thing we knew, he named the dog Pee-wee. And next thing we knew, we had a litter of puppies. And we gave all of them away except for one. And Rosie named them Kimba, after Kimba the White Lion, the cartoon we used to watch. And anyway, from there on, all throughout Paul's life, he was breeding dogs, mostly pit bulls. And he was really good at it. And at one point, he stopped breeding dogs, and his passion for restoring cars took over. And throughout the years, he developed very chronic problems with his neck and went through one surgery. And I'm leading up to something. Just give me a second. And he was in so much pain, the surgery didn't work, that he was looking at another one down the road. And he was on the kind of pain drugs that cancer patients take, just to give you an idea how much pain he was in. But despite this, he continued working on cars. He was fixing up a vehicle for his son, Paul Jr. He was fixing up a vehicle for his daughter, Jeanette. And he never got to finish. But he and I, over the years, would have talks and talks and talks, and I'd always tell him, Paul, you're such a giving person, but you got to remember to take care of you. And just a few weeks ago, we had the same conversation, and it occurred to me that this is Paul. He's a totally selfless person. And all he cared about were the ones he loved, all of us.
God bless him.
And up to the last moment, I know all of us are in his hearts. And I memorized something, and I'm sure I'm going to get it all wrong, but you'll get the gist of it. you look up at the stars and at night and you think there are these lights shining down on you. But they can be thought of as holes in the heavens where the light shines through, and the ones we've lost are looking down on us and letting us know that they're okay.
And that they're with us.
And they're with us. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. We're going to sit down.
Thank you.
Come on.
Is anyone else a friend? We don't want to, in moments like these where the heart speaks. These are precious moments, because in moments of memorial service, the heart speaks. So does anyone else want to do it? I have permission from the funeral home. If we run a few more minutes, that's okay. So don't want to get anybody saying, oh, I wish I could say something or not. Do you remember Paul? You have a thought that you want us to know. You don't have to come here. You can go ahead, sir.
I hope you understand this. This is what Paul would say to you. It's not just a family, it's two families. His blood, it's over there, and I think he would want it for all of you guys, your mom, your dad, to get together and work out the difference that you guys have between. I was very close to him, so he told me a few of the problems that ran through his life with the family. But the last few months, few years, all he wanted to do is to have a family. Brothers talk to their sisters, sisters talk to their brothers, mother talk to the father talk to the brothers and sons. And I know he will wanted to work that out until the rest of his life. And I really want you guys to forget the difference, because that's what he will tell me in so many words, and just to communicate more as a family. And the other thing I can say, I want to remember Paul as he was for 15, 20 years that I knew him, instead of the last few days. And that's all I can say. For the son, the daughter, let's keep his memories alive. Do what you have to do to represent him as a good person, and you guys will be okay.
Before I have the final clause, does anybody else want to express your heart? You'd be glad to do so. All right. Let me share with you about. There is one. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry. Don't show the hand. They're pointing me out that someone would like to. All right. Be glad to. Please, let me know. Anyway, me and Paul goes back to 1973. And he always used to ask me, he goes, Mike, how come you have the strength to be so positive when things are so bad? And I told him, I go, Paul, the strength comes within. And you got to be stronger than your fears. Because I go, the worst thing you could be is a prisoner in your own mind. That's the worst cage you can live in. And I try to tell him throughout the years,
And every time we got together, even though when Paul was going through his worst pain, because I'm a practical joker, I was always making him laugh. But I could see when I made him laugh, he would cringe with pain. And I would tell him, I go, Paul, you want me to quit joking around with you because I'm hurting you? He goes, no, I need to laugh. So the thing is, all of us needs to laugh. We got to find things in our life that are more important than our burdens. Because if you focus on your burden, you'll never have the strength to laugh. So like I was telling him one day, because I rushed through life, just going from place to place, from A to B. And I realized one day I missed everything. 30 years later, I missed everything that I had that was so beautiful in my life because I never took the time to look at it. So one day, I was working, I was driving by, and I stopped at this park, and I looked down, and I seen these little kids rolling down the hill. And they were like two or three, and they were laughing and everything. And I was watching them, and I started thinking, I go, you know what? I'm not grown enough to be an adult, but I do have enough childhood in me to be a child. So I got out of my car, went over down this where the kids were, and I started rolling down the hills. And people are looking at me, what's wrong with this guy? He's rolling down the hills, you know, he's just an adult and all this other stuff. And ever since then, I stop and I roll down hills. And I jump up and down, I yell like a kid, I scream, and I'll be going through grocery stores and I'll be yelling like kids and everything. And I don't care what people think of me, it's what I think of myself. And it's a joy that I could give people knowing that. And maybe if they could see the strength of me, of not being afraid of being a child, maybe they'll have enough courage to be the child. Because that's what we all need, to be a child, not be an adult. Adulthood comes like a slap in the face. Childhood is something you should bless. So for you, Paul, I'll still be your child down here looking up at you. And don't forget to play in the grass with me. God bless.
Don't want to anybody to see Claire. All right. I took Paul to soup one day, and I said, Paul, I have some questions for you because the time is going over. I just want to share a few of them. He said, I have some questions because it's not just coming to church and sitting on the pew that makes you a Christian, you know. It's not just coming every Sunday, putting an offering. Some people think they're giving a big donation that becomes you a Christian. That's not the idea. And as a pastor, I had the super obligation to share my life with everything I got, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and to be sure that the people understand what they believe. And so I said, Paul, as I ask everybody in church, what do you believe? Just share with me. Don't be afraid. I maybe disagree, so what? You tell me exactly what you believe, because one day we're going to face God, and we better believe right. So I said, I'm going to ask you first question. Who is your authority? You know, we all have authorities. The authority is the person that, or the work or whatever that dominates your life. Who is your authority? The pastor? The church? Some book you read? Who's your authority? You'll guide your life on. And he said, Pastor, you remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where Paul talked to Timothy and said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be complete. I want my Bible to guide me. But that's your authority. I don't know who is your authority. Do you live day by day without thinking, without any ruling, without any guideline? God wrote a guideline called the Bible, and Paul knew it. Then I said, Paul, how many gods do you have? I'm a foreigner. I'm born in Argentina from mama who was Italian, and my father was in Spain. And so my accent gives away I'm a foreigner. Now, in England, when I was in England, they thought I was a Scotland. they cannot hear very well, I guess. But I'm a foreigner. And when I came to America, I look on it to people and I listen. And I say, who is their authority? You know who is the authority of America? Money. People work like crazy, to get a new car that is going in 10 years, that's no good anymore. They work like crazy, day and night, two jobs, three jobs. I know people were running from one job to the other to get more money to get something else. Money rules the country. Who is your God? Money? Work? Pleasure? Look at what the Bible says. Isaiah, a longtime writer of the scripture, says, thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So who is your God? The Bible, the name of the God of the Bible is Jehovah. That's a Hebrew name for saying, I am. Present tense. Paul believed that there is only one God, the God of the Bible. Now the great question that I have for people is, how do you get to your God? And some people say, you know, what I do is that I give a big offering to the church. In my country, in Argentina, a lot of the Italian, they were Roman Catholic, and I don't understand, but they walked 70 kilometers to the Basilica, to the big church, and they brought golds and so on, because they want to get to their God. They were honest people, and they want to get to their God. How do you get to your God? Well, if you have a guideline, the Bible should tell you, and the Bible tell us. Is it, again, Paul training in a pastor, Timothy, who said these words, for there is one God and one mediator, one bridge between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. You have to get to Jesus in order to get to God. And I said, Paul, I'm not talking about being a Catholic, being a Protestant, being whatever. I'm talking about, do you get to God through Jesus? Because it doesn't matter what name you carry on the outside. What matters is what this man said, is what is inside. That's what matters. All right, Paul believed that Jesus Christ had died, paid the penalty of sin that we're all born with, and that now he can pray to the Father, and through Jesus Christ he's forgiven. That's what we say Paul is in heaven. Not on his merits, not on what he has done, but on what he believes. His life, you know, when I was young, at 20, I never thought in dying. Have you ever thought dying at 20? No, you're thinking in life, no? 20. I can go the whole day, and the next day, and the next day, 3 days on the roll, and no sleep. I don't need it. At 20. Remember your 20s? Especially if you have a girlfriend. Man, what a power. All right, let's face it. It's true. What a power. But that's life. Got into my head, 19 until 25. Does life end here? Is this the last thing we're going to see of Paul? We are going in about a few minutes to the cemetery. Is the last thing that happened to me in this world? Jesus talking to the Pharisees, to the doctors in theology, in Matthew 25, he said, and these will go away into eternal punishment, talking about one kind of people. And then, but the righteous, these other kind of people, will go into eternal life. Now, Jesus opened a real can of worms. He said, life doesn't end here. Life goes, either you go to eternal life or you go to eternal punishment. But the fact that your body is not here doesn't mean you are not in existence. Wow. How do I get eternal life? Paul again, a great writer, explain it again. For the payoff of sin is death. We die because our first man sinned, Adam. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God has given us a gift, Jesus Christ. And if we believe it, we have eternal life. Now, I got it. Paul got it. Do you got it? I'm not asking you, are you a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Catholic? Please forget about that. Forget about that. I like people as they are. And what I'd like to know is, do you got the gift of eternal life? That's what Romans 6:23 said, that the gift of God is eternal life. Come through reading of the scripture. You read the scripture and you find yourself guilty, and at the same page you find yourself forgiven by a God who is loving and have provided in Jesus Christ life eternal. For what I know from Paul, for what he and I taught over a bowl of soup and a chocolate, he told me that he believed that God has forgiven him through Christ Jesus. For what he said, I want to tell you this. For what he believed, he now is in the presence of God. Not for what I said as a pastor or our church do. We have no authority. We have the same authority you have. I'm a man like you are. I need my Savior like you need your Savior. I'm no special. I just have a job to teach you about God. I'm glad Paul learned it. And he has arrived. Too young, no? I lost an ankle at 49. Body. We were body. And I lost him at 49. And I know what it is to lose somebody. But I tell you, I do not lose my ankle forever. From time to time, I pull from my drawer. This happened years ago. 40 years ago, I pulled from my door his picture, and I look on it, and I cry. I'm a man, and I put it back. But one day, I will see him, because the Bible tells me that those who believe in Christ have eternal life. Paul have arrived, and one day, I will meet Paul. I hope you too will meet Paul. There is a song that Paul liked it. And if I sing, you all run because I'm bad. See, so I don't want to do that. My wife prohibited me to do anything like that. I envy people who sing. I love to sing. I'm just a speaker, but I love to see people sing. I read one stanza in the chorus. It's Paul's song. It is well with my soul is the name of the song. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. 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 That was Paul's life. Hope that you can say at the end of life, the people can say the same thing about me, and they can say the same thing about you. It is well with my soul, because the God of heaven, the God of Isaiah, Jesus, our Lord, have taken care of our life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we are in pain, Father. We will not say other thing that we are in pain. Death separates. But our hope is in what you said in the scripture, that for those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid their sins, they are in your presence. And we, Father, are at peace because the Bible said that one day we will meet them and enjoy life forever. Father, I pray for me and I pray for everyone here that we may have the peace of God in our hearts and mind. And now, Father, I pray for the family, for mama, for their children, wives. Lord, I pray that the comfort that you only can give be their comfort. Lord, thank you.
for it be not God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.